In addition, this morning we got a double feature this morning. So we're going to have a presentation by the Pascal Aerospace Engineering Club. So that, they recently participated in the Team America Rocketry competition, sponsored by the Aerospace Industries Association. The contest is the world's largest student rocket contest and is a key piece of the aerospace and defense industry strategy to build a stronger U.S. workforce in science, technology, and engineering. Competition is driving our success in legitimizing the club. So the club will discuss the technical aspects of the rocket and along with the challenges of designing and building it. So please join me in welcoming the Pascal Aerospace Engineering Club.
All right. Good morning. I'm Robert Nile, and I'm president of Pascal Aerospace Engineering. We're actually brand new this year, but we've been working since just the beginning of the year. I'd say we started during the summer, starting with our conceptual planning for the rockets. First got my interest. I've been building models, just as Golos, for basically all my elementary through middle school years. And then I really got interested in flight, and I've always been interested in aviation, so this seemed like the perfect challenge for me.
Hi, I'm Joseph Reitman, and I'm the treasurer for Aerospace Engineering Club. I got into this with Bobby, and while he was making the models, because he's really good at that, I was over researching the rules and trying to get costs together, so that's kind of where I fit into things.
I'm Sam Thielman. I am a member of the Aerospace Engineering Club. I don't do anything particularly special. I just show up to launches and help collect data.
All right, so next slide.
And apparently click the slides.
So we have a pretty wide range of team, and so all of our members, some of them couldn't be here today, but we're just being representatives for them. Our sponsor is our AP chemistry teacher, which is kind of how it got started. We originally got into it by building rocket engines because we're curious about the chemical aspects that make up the engine. So we started doing that. Then we found this competition and it rolled perfectly into it. So
these are pictures of some of our launches. So our main competition this year is the Team America Rocketry Challenge competition. And so this was really good because last year when we were making these rocket engines, the club kind of devolved into like a group of people that were there just so they could see stuff like light on fire, and then people who are actually interested in rocketry. So this year we had a goal in mind and we said we can direct our efforts to this challenge, and you had to buy the rocket engine so there was no more of that other group in the club. So for our challenge, this year, the design requirements change every year, but this year, the rocket has to separate into two pieces when it's being recovered. This is our bottom half of the rocket. And then this lower piece has to be a smaller diameter than the upper piece, and the upper piece houses the egg and the altimeter, while the lower piece houses the engine and engine casing. The egg, if it breaks, is instant disqualification, so you have to make sure you're really protecting it. And then there's also a weight limit and length limit on the rocket, and there are engine limits, but you don't really encounter those because of the weight and length limit. For our qualifying flight, our target altitude is 775 feet, and we have a time range of 41 to 43 seconds that the upper half of the rocket is in the air for. Each foot we're off from 775 feet is 1 point towards our score, and each target, each 0.01 second of our target time difference from the range we can be in gets multiplied by 4 and added to our score. The top score at the challenge last year was about 4 points between two launches, so you have to be really precise.
Oh. Actually, you can go back for a second. So, at the last launches we just completed, we've been focusing on our altitude scores. And over the last three launches, we were able to attain 776, 778, and 774. So we're roughly 3 feet off in each one, which is both a really great moment for us, and also going that the manufacturing on these motors as well is fantastic, because enable to be the difference between this amount of space is just is amazing, because it's literally the 0.001 of a second of a burn time on these engines that they're cut to. So that's the next one. So when we first got together in the beginning of the summer, we had to start with conceptual designs. So we got our papers and pencils out, and we got together, and we started making our individual designs for the rockets. And so each part was drawn out to our specifications and slowly modeled down to what exactly we wanted. So, and then we brought it over onto the Roxxon, which is a great modeling system on the computer that can give us 3D imaging, and we can build the rocket individually part by part in a step basis and break it down into the individual parts. So next slide. And then it also allows us to run trials and find data that we need to use. And so we ran many down. Some of these, of course, are a little off, but we've been slowly getting down to exactly what we think. And this system has been great because it's been within about 10% of error accuracy to the actual real-life simulators, because we can also change humidity and temperature, which is a big factor in establishing a line, which we can graph on, because if we launch at a lower temperature and a higher temperature, then we can create a line and put exactly how much weight we need to put on these rockets and exactly how we need to launch them. Next slide. And of course, and it gives us live data as we go forth to find out exactly what we need. Next slide. All right, so for the individual parts, they always went through a three-part process. For the first part, we designed them out on paper to see exactly what we wanted to start with as our base design. So for this individual part, the weight container, we started out with a conceptual drawing on paper. Then we moved into the a basic wooden model to prove that we could build it. And from there, we transitioned to the 3D printing system. Can you go to the next slide? And so we were able to come across with a preliminary design, which started out as this. And so after we did some testing on it to see if it could take the 51 Newton seconds that the engine produced, we found out that we needed a slightly longer brace, because one in the first launches, the bottom cracked. So we moved on to a slightly thicker base and thicker body with a 30% fill as thickness layer of weight. And so we ended up with this as our weight container. This process also worked for our nose cones, next slide, and our fins. So they all went through the same types of processes, where we drew them out on paper, and then we took them through each individual step of the design process. We started out with a basic nose cone with a pointed tip, and then we started looking for research of which one's more aerodynamically capable for non-supersonic travel. So, of course, as we started to figure out, it was more of a parabolic shape, and we ended up with this, which worked for several flights. Until we realized we were spending a lot of weight to keep this up in the air, so excuse me for that. So we dropped it down and cut off about an inch and a half, so that we arrived with this, which was dropped 12 grams, which in our case was the difference between 50 feet of play that we could use in our rocket. And same with the fins. We started out by printing in higher material, which was just a polyester, and then we went down to ABS and PLA, which dropped us another several grams, which was very helpful. All right, next slide. So then everything was built together over using an epoxy, which was basically our go-to for this entire thing, and that was just a prototype. So next slide. And slowly we got together and built our first prototype, and then got into our first model that was ready for flight. So next slide. And then the other problem we had was launch pad, because these rockets are much more powerful than your standard rocket. So at first we were using two metal latches and the rocket launch rail, and it was attached to a soccer pole because it was the sturdiest thing we could find. Then we were like, this is not the best way to do it, or the engineering approach. So we went back into the shop downstairs at our school and started designing, next slide, our launch pad. So basically, just we needed a lot of weight. So we went ahead and started our welding process. Next slide. And we were able to slowly create what we needed for the project.
I can speak now. So the launch protocol goes as follows. We arrive at the launch site with the materials and determine a launch spot based on where the wind is blowing from. We then begin the assembly of the rocket. Once it's assembled, we do the final check and we connect it to the controller. After the launch, we collect both halves of the rocket, gather the altitude from the altimeter, and then record both the time and the altitude. The rocket is then reassembled, and if we feel like it, we do another launch.
And so also with the launch procedure,
can't see that we for a second.
All right. So, also for our engines, we're in the game of precision. So we don't use, the standard Estes model. Of course, those little cardboard tubes, because those can get cracks and fractures even in production and holding onto them. And with those fractures, there's variance in how long it burns. And that's not good because we're playing with very fine seconds. So that's why we use very specific composite engines. So these are chemically mixed, so there's very little of a chance that any part is unmixed in any way, shape, or form, or they're cracks. So with these engines, they load up into a metal casing, and these come together in a three-part process, and then they can be easily put into here and reused directly after each flight. We have multiple casings to ensure that after one flight, we can easily switch into the next flight, as well as multiple rockets to ensure that if anything happens to the other rocket, we have another rocket ready to go. And so when each part is assembled, we weigh each next to each other to make sure that they all weigh exactly the same. Because that is extraordinarily important, so we don't have varying data. So we're also looking to get new technology for the future to help us work with this program. So we're looking for onboard cameras in the future, and in some ways that's more for PR, but we also want that. An amateur radio equipment, because the launch site we work at is very large, and when we send off the recovery crew to pick up the rocket, it's very hard to tell what's going on, because oftentimes there's always going to be something that went a little wrong in a launch, and we're very used to it at that point. And so we always have, it's kind of hard to communicate over like a quarter of a mile just to wherever it lands, because they drift for a good distance. And even though these are not height rockets, they're precision rockets, it's still, if there's even above like a 6 mph wind, we're going to see it drifting a quarter of a mile down the field.
So now I'm the treasurer, so I'm the guy who has to kind of mention finances. So with a public school, funds aren't always available. We're very fortunate that we go to an engineering specialty school, so we have access to 3D printers and welding that other schools might not have. But that still means that there are certain parts that we can't get because we can't make them at past school. So, like, we have to get the engines from places. And so it's been a lot of the challenge is making sure we can get the results we need with little money. So one of the things I was very proud of is when we were building that stand, the supplier that usually does these types of things sells a piece of extruded aluminum for about $75 and calls it a launch rail, and then sells a launch base for about $500. We got the launch base down to $75 and the piece of metal down to about $14. And so there's also stuff with prioritization. So the stuff on the last slide is kind of stuff that we'd really like to have because we'd be able to get more out of the club. And when we switch to high-powered rocketry, which we plan to do next year, those rockets are getting really valuable, and it is going to be important that we know where the rockets are. So all this stuff costs money, especially the engines, which are usually around $20, which means when we're trying to repeat the launches so that we get good data and we know what the rocket's going to do in certain conditions, that starts to add up very quickly. And especially because this is our first year doing it and we have oversights in our process, it's very devastating when one launch fails because that's another $20. So we are looking at fundraising options. We have opportunities to sponsor the club. We're also looking at putting decals on the rocket with company logos. And if we make it to nationals, it's a really good publicity thing because we usually get featured, or Tarek says teams usually get featured on like local news, national news if they win the competition.
Thanks.
Are there any questions?
Where do you launch these things? Where do you...
So we varied in our sites occasionally, but we've found a pretty standard way under the laws and stated under the NAR, the National American Rocketry Association. They require that the height of your rocket may not exceed the one direction that the park is in. So we use this park called Gateway Park. It works out very well for us. It's 1,000 feet by something, and so it works out as far as height goes. And
Gateway Park is where?
It's right on Beach and 30.
Is where?
Beach Street and 30.
Beach Street and 30. You guys are living large. We've
accumulated over 35 launches at this point, and possibly after today, we'll get up into 40.
Yeah.
So I think we're playing 4 or 5 launches today.
So one thing I would just like to recognize about the team is that this really is a student-led organization. They do have, as you said, an AP chemistry teacher that sponsors them and works with them. But as you can see, all the design, all the ingenuity, everything that they're putting into this has really come from the team themselves. It's not coming down from the teacher showing them how to do things. It's coming from their own ability and their own interest and their own passion and drive. So I just really am proud of them for that and you know, wanted to recognize that.
There's a book, Rocket Boys, or Rocket Over Sky, modeling yourself after a coal miner or something.
I'd say we have a little more safety procedures than them, but we'll go for that.
Same objective. When
yes.
So if someone wanted to make a contribution to the team, whether it's money or equipment or cameras, something like that, how would they do that?
So we go through the Pascal Enrichment Fund, which is an outside source. It goes directly to the school. It's just an outside bank account that doesn't go through the bureaucracy of the school. So we can directly spend it on vendors that aren't necessarily associated with the school, like A&W and Apogee. Sorry.
Is there a website where they can?
Or you can send the donations directly to us via check made out to Pascal Aerospace Enrichment Fund, and then we'll directly cash it in.
Do you have any cards or?
Oh, sorry. No, but we have a website up with all our information on it. If you simply Google Pascal Aerospace, and we have plenty of pictures and information from each launch that we make sure to put up. And it'll have all our contact information.
You have a Facebook page?
No, actually, we.
I can get started on that.
Oh, we can get started on that. Yeah.
Does your school have a Facebook page?
Yes.
Would it be okay if I promoted what you're doing on our Facebook page?
We'd love it.
We'd love it.
And you put your one of your slides up.
Hey. Yeah.
Good job.
This is social media.
I think you got to get the kids to stand up a little closer.
There you go. Can you turn the lights on? There we go. Oh, okay. That's better.
Hey. You mentioned your technology interest about 70-centimeter amateur radio equipment. Have you guys linked up with the Fort Worth Amateur Radio Club?
No, we're actually not aware of that.
They would probably love to help you. I'm a general class operator with the Bedford Radio Club, and radio clubs are always looking to get involved with these kind of things, so they'd probably be more than willing to help you out.
That'd be awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. You know what you're going to do in your career when you get it?
I'm interested in going to some aerospace engineering field, whether it's with Lockheed or NASA or Boeing.
You too?
I'm going to be a doctor.
I have not decided yet.
Oh, yeah, most of our engineers are actually off in with the band right now, on a band trip right now. So, yeah.
It's an incredibly diverse group. That's really a nice element of it as well. You can see there's girls, and, you know, so the whole band thing for women is nice.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you so much.